This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
And away we go. Hour number three of our radio program, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Chris Trapasso does a phenomenal job as a NFL draft and young NFL player analyst for CBS Sports. And I always enjoy this time of the year. It's usually a tradition unlike any other. They say that for the Masters. It's also for us here at the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, because we bring Chris on and we do a top 10 mock draft. I will take the odd picks. Chris will take the even picks, and we'll see how much chaos and how many people we could annoy by the end of this segment to see the first 10 players that will be off the board. So Chris, appreciate the time as always. How you been, my friend?
I'm doing really well. I got my Masters green sweatshirt on, or as closest thing I have to that Masters green jacket. But yes, this is a great time of the year with the Masters, college basketball just getting done. And then now we just all can narrow our focus on the NFL draft. So this is one of my favorite, kind of low-key favorite times of the year.
So let's get to it. I have the first pick here representing the Chicago Bears. Surprise, surprise, surprise. It's going to be Caleb Williams. I don't really have any great concerns about Caleb Williams. I know people could talk about him crying in his mother's arms and how he's going to be able to relate in the locker room. He's right now the best quarterback in this draft class. I think the best player is Marvin Harrison Jr., but he is the best quarterback we've known now for practically 2 years. When he's eligible, he'll be the number one overall pick. So nothing really much to discuss here. Caleb Williams going one to the Chicago Bears. So that puts Chris on the hot seat where the draft really does start with the second overall pick. What do you think the Washington Commanders will do and why?
They're going to pick Jaden Daniels, the Heisman-winning quarterback from LSU. I think pairing him with their offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, who ironically was Caleb Williams' offensive coordinator last year at USC, can still utilize the same air raid offense, throw the ball down the field, a lot of vertical routes. We saw that that's really where Jaden Daniels excelled with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas last season. The big playability with his legs. Really, Washington has not had that since RG3 over a decade ago. So I think it's a good fit. And he is and has become such an elite quarterback prospect. Not as much of a layup as Caleb Williams to the Bears, but I think this pick will be turned in relatively quickly on April 25th.
Yeah, I agree with you. And this puts me in a mental pretzel, Chris Trapasso, because I am a Patriot fan. I want Jaden Daniels. It annoys me that the Patriots lost to the Commanders, and because of a different tiebreaker, the Commanders have the second overall pick. So people that were happy when they beat the Steelers and happy when they beat the Broncos at the end of the year, this is all your fault, is what I'll have to say. So I do not want Drake May. I think if the Patriots stay here, they should pick Drake May, if they're going to take a quarterback. But I actually believe that Jerod Mayo and Elliott Wolf are going to channel their inner Bill Belichick. And when everyone thinks they're going to take a quarterback, they're going to trade back. I believe the Minnesota Vikings trade up to three. 2-3 weeks ago, if you would have said, Zach, Minnesota trades up to three, I probably would say because of the McCown connection, they end up taking Drake May. But I don't believe Drake May is NFL ready right now. And I think the Vikings do have a window here with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. And we know Jefferson's going to get an extension. Addison's still on a rookie deal. So I believe not only do the Minnesota Vikings trade up to three and the Patriots fall back to 11, but I have Minnesota taking J.J. McCarthy here with the third overall pick in the draft. And I'm actually surprised that I said it, because I don't think J.J. McCarthy should be the third overall pick, but that's where I think we're heading to.
Yeah, it seems like there's so much buzz that started even pre-combine when Lance Zierlein from NFL.com kind of leaked out there that he heard that Drake may be the quarterback who falls a little bit. And J.J. McCarthy, all the interviews, everything's been good about his leadership. We heard the report earlier this week about not wanting to party when he was at Michigan and telling other recruits that. I think it's a little bit of a red flag with a quarterback if you start with all the intangibles and then have to talk about what they do on the field. I like McCarthy as a prospect, but I'm with you. I wouldn't pick him this high, but would be a great landing spot, like you mentioned, with the weapons that they have, the offensive environment there in Minnesota.
All righty, Chris Trapasso. So far and what we think will happen, I have the odd picks, you have the even picks. Caleb Williams going one to the Bears, Washington taking Jaden Daniels at two, and I have Minnesota trading up to three and selecting J.J. McCarthy. You are back on the clock. And you have the Arizona Cardinals. Do they trade back or do they take a wide receiver for Marvin Harrison for Kyler Murray?
Yeah, I think this is going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, if they are the first team that could make that trade with the Vikings, if the Patriots don't strike a deal with Minnesota, I think this would be one of the first prime spots for a team to trade out. But it feels like after moving away from Will Anderson last year and then trading back up for Paris Johnson, the offensive tackle who didn't have that great of a rookie season, I think, like you mentioned, Monty Austin, fourth year GM, is going to get Kyler Murray a legitimate weapon. Their GM, Jonathan Gannon, saw the impact that an A.J. Brown could have on a mobile quarterback in Jalen Hurts. I think they'll just ultimately stay put, maybe take some calls, but ultimately decline them and pick Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State.
Yeah, and I think the good part from this exercise, we know quarterbacks are going 1-2 and probably in all likelihood 1-2-3. The trade-ups are going to be fascinating because we know there's going to be a team that tries to jump the Giants, and then we'll see how that does go. Now, in this exercise, if you're trying to take away from the Giants getting a quarterback, you probably want to see it be quarterback 1, 2, and 3 staying put, and then Minnesota maybe jumping up to 4 or 5, what we're talking about. But I had Minnesota jumping up into 3 and getting J.J. McCarthy. So Chris Trapasso here with us. First four picks, Bears taking Caleb Williams, Washington going with Jaden Daniels. I have Minnesota moving into 3 to take J.J. McCarthy. And Chris did just select with the Cardinals Marvin Harrison Jr. I will go back-to-back wide receivers here. This could be a trade spot for the Chargers. I personally think Rome Odunze is the second-best wide receiver in this draft class, but there's been so much buzz about Malik Nabers. I think Malik Nabers is going to be the pick here for the Chargers in at number 5.
Yeah, that'll surprise me a little bit just because what we've heard from Jim Harbaugh, what we know from Jim Harbaugh, his history with offensive linemen. And like you mentioned, I think they would want to trade down, but you need 2 to tango. And if the Vikings with those 2 first-round picks have already made that trade up, I think getting Justin Herbert legitimate weapons after trading Keenan Allen, releasing Mike Williams, grabbing Malik Nabers, who's my number one wide receiver in this draft class, would be a fantastic consolation prize for LA.
Chris Trapasso here with us. All righty, Chris, it's back to your pick. You have the Giants in at 6 with Drake May sitting right there.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Drake May from North Carolina. I think this would be a borderline dream come true for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll there in New York. That for the longest time in this pre-draft process, them sitting there at 6 in a huge need, in my opinion, at the quarterback spot, it felt like they were going to be left out in the cold, that they weren't going to be able to get up or have one of these quarterbacks fall to them. So Drake May might not be a totally finished product, but I love him. He's my quarterback too. Big arm, played on a bad team last year and still had relatively good stats. Can really make every throw on the field. The Giants picked Drake May, quarterback from North Carolina, at 6 overall.
We go to Tennessee, who's sitting there with the 7th pick. I actually think Tennessee has had a very underrated offseason, getting Legarius Sneed. You sign Calvin Ridley. You bring in Tony Pollard. I don't know if Will Levis is the guy, but they're putting him in a position where they could properly evaluate it, something the Patriots never did with Mac Jones. So at 7, I think you make the safe pick here. I think you beef up the offensive line, and you take Joe Alt, the big tackle, out of Notre Dame.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. And we have to remember that their GM, Rand Carthen, was in San Francisco, had a front row seat to the impact that Trent Williams had on that team after that trade was made just a few years ago. Joe Alt isn't quite the player of Trent Williams caliber, of course, who's a future Hall of Famer yet. But with time, as he gets a little stronger, I think Joe Alt can be that franchise left tackle next to last year's first-round pick by the Titans, Peter Skoronski, at left guard.
All righty, let's keep it moving as we are joined by Chris Trapasso. First seven picks done as we try to get to 10. Caleb Williams to the Bears. Jaden Daniels going to the Commanders. J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings via trade from the Patriots. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals. Malik Nabers to the Chargers. Giants going Drake May. And then I just selected for the Tennessee Titans, Joe Alt, in at number 8 with the Falcons. What do you got cooking here, Chris?
All right, I'm going to go with a little bit of a curveball. This is going to be Jared Verse, edge rusher, Florida State. For the longest time, it's been Dallas Turner. Big recruit, had a great final season at Alabama. He runs a little hot and cold for me, and a few scouts that I've talked to within the league have kind of questioned whether or not he can be as consistent as you want a top 10 pick to be. And the Falcons are suddenly, with Kirk Cousins, in like win now mode, like win the NFC South, host a playoff game and see where you can go from there, and somewhat of a watered-down NFC, certainly in their division. So I think Jared Verse, being older, 2 years back-to-back of elite-level production, he's a little bigger, he's a little stronger than Dallas Turner. I think that will be the surprise inside the top 10. Jared Verse, Florida State edge rusher, going to the Falcons at number 8.
So I'm well-versed on Jared Verse, and I guess that was the crappy pun intended right there, because he was at Albany, and then Mike Norvell was able to get him to go to Florida State. I remember last year in the offseason, I was talking to Norvell about Jared Verse and how he could be a top 10 pick. You saw a lot of that in the mock drafts during the season, but recently you haven't heard a lot about top 10 with Jared Verse. Has his stock been falling, or is he just one of those prospects that for some reason, whatever the reasons are, you just don't talk about him much?
Yeah, I think he's just kind of clean and safe. With Dallas Turner, you see the upside. He's younger. He has a longer wingspan than Jared Verse. And again, he was a number one recruit in the nation. So I think there's certainly a chance that Dallas Turner goes in the top 10. But with Verse, from just my own evaluation and talking with people after the combine within the league, they're just like, hey, this player, it has a very high floor and there is some ceiling to his game because we only saw him for 2 seasons in the ACC. I could see the Falcons having kind of a tough decision whether they go Dallas Turner or Jared Verse, but I think they want more of a win now type of player. And to me, that's Jared Verse from Florida State.
Just wondering, I'm going to throw out an old scenario, and I just wonder if there's any similarities here. When the Jaguars had the first overall pick and they took Trayvon Walker, I was like, that doesn't really make sense, but they sold you off the potential. And I thought Aiden Hutchinson was the more consistent, the more solid, the safer player. And I thought the better player. Is this kind of a similarity in the thought process where a lot of people are taking Turner because of the potential where we've just seen more consistency from Verse?
Yes, definitely. And really the only like lower production, high upside first round edge rusher that's really blossomed is Rashawn Gary of the Packers. If you go back, a lot of the guys that were able to set, be sold to their fan base on potential. They don't have a lot of sacks. The pressures throughout multiple seasons weren't really there. But in time, they'll be really, really good. Usually don't work out. It's the Joey Boses and the Nick Boses and the Miles Garrett, the Aiden Hutchinsons that certainly have the physical traits but aren't ridiculously, I mean, outside of Garrett, ridiculous athletes but are just really good football players and know how to beat offensive tackles with a variety of moves. I think the Falcons would get that from day one with Jared Verse, as opposed to having to wait to get maybe that type of potential from Dallas Turner.
Talking to Chris Trapasso right now as we go through and almost close to wrapping up the top 10 mock draft that we do each and every year. I thought defensive player would go either 8 or 9 at the earliest. You took Jared Verse at 8, so I still could pencil in the Bears to take Turner here. But I feel like the Bears are going to be sexy here, and they're going to continue to put Caleb Williams in the best position to succeed. I know they have DJ Moore. I know that they just traded for Keenan Allen. But I'm looking at Rome Odunze here, and he's staring me right in the eyes, and he's saying, just take me. So that's what I'm going to do. And here's the other thing. When you have a crowded wide receiver room, I think character is important. Being a good teammate is important. Keenan Allen, very good teammate, and has been in a crowded wide receiver room. We know DJ Moore, very good teammate. Being around Rome Odunze during Super Bowl week for a little bit, you could sense that he's a really good teammate. So I don't think the ego is going to be a big problem there. If you get a crowded wide receiving room, I'm going to have the Chicago Bears taking Rome Odunze here, Chris.
What I would love about that for Caleb Williams is that they would have all three flavors of wide receiver. They would have the underneath separator that can catch the football and get first downs on third and short, Keenan Allen. They would have the yards after the catch monster and DJ Moore. And then just the rebounder down the football field. Roman Dunze, 75% contested catch win rate, the highest or the best among all draft eligible wide receivers in this draft class. So they would be able to threaten defenses at all three levels of the field.
All righty, send us home here. The JATS Jets, Jets, Jets in at number 10. What do we got gangrene cooking up here?
I think this is going to be an Aaron Rodgers special. It's not going to be a wide receiver, but it's going to be a pass catcher. Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia. Now, I know that there's not as much disparity between the first round draft pick money and a franchise tag tight end. There's been some talk about that's why we're not really seeing tight ends go super early anymore. But I think Aaron Rodgers will have his finger on the pulse of this pick and want another weapon on this Jets team that I think is as all in as any team that we've maybe ever seen, or at least in my memory for one season. They add Mike Williams. They have Garrett Wilson. Bring in Brock Bowers, who's really hovered under the radar because he didn't work out during the pre-draft process. But we've seen him since his freshman season at Georgia. Felt like a future top 10 pick.
I do agree Rodgers is going to have his hands all over this pick. Why not offense alignment? No, I know that they made some improvements on their offense line, but bringing in Teron Smith, the guy's injured every year now.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably be option two. And I think Joe Douglas's pass where he has invested on the offensive line, that will be a strong consideration. And maybe if it is a pass rusher over an offensive lineman, we can kind of get the idea that it was truly an Aaron Rodgers pick. But because they brought in Tyron Smith, if they do expect him to be healthy, which is obviously a big if, then if they draft another offensive tackle, I don't know if that guy's going to play right away in year one. Brock Bowers can be plugged in and catch 60 or more passes from Aaron Rodgers in 2024.
He is Chris Trapasso, does a great job covering the draft and all the young NFL players. He is Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Trapasso. Chris, thanks so much for doing this again.
Thanks.
There you go. Chris Trapasso joining us right there on the show. Just to wrap up the mock draft, Bears, I had the odd picks, he had the evens. Bears, Caleb Williams, Washington, Jaden Daniels, Patriots trade to Minnesota. Minnesota takes J.J. McCarthy. Cardinals go Marvin Harrison Jr., Chargers Malik Nabers, Giants Drake May, Titans Joe Alt. He had the Falcons taking Jared Verse. I have the Bears taking Roma Dunze, and then the JATS Jets, Jets, Jets taking Brock Bowers. Coming on back, Zach Hilp Show, CBS Sports Radio. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You know, usually when you have an athlete that passes away, we talk about the athlete in a positive way and you give the proper eulogy and you reflect and maybe you bring on a guest or two that knew the athlete that impacted so many people's lives in what you would hope would be a positive way. And you kind of reflect and, you know, you never obviously want to see someone pass away, but it is something that it's weird to say when someone's older, it's easier to talk about death. Like when someone tragically passes away, that was an athlete at, let's say, like 30 something years old, that's heartbreaking. It's difficult. You know, when someone that was a great athlete or someone that you knew passes away when they're 85 or 90, I'm not saying it's easy, because there's still an emotional attachment. You'll never be able to get to see or talk to that person again. And you do realize, though, wow, that person had a great run. But when you find out today that O.J. Simpson did pass away after a battle with cancer, it's a very difficult thing to talk about. Because for some, right, you remember O.J. Simpson, the football player. And it's like two different O.J.'s you got to kind of talk about. Like O.J. Simpson's one of the greatest running backs in NFL history. But O.J. Simpson, the football player, clearly gets overshadowed and he only has himself to blame because of what allegedly happened, I gotta be technical here, with O.J. Simpson off the field. And I know he was never convicted, but I think most of us do believe that O.J. Simpson is a murderer. And he got away with it. So that's the difficult part of this conversation. Because I can't really talk about O.J. Simpson in a positive way. And this is not a normal death. Because even though how great O.J. Simpson was as a football player, I don't think there's many that's their first thought in the year of 2024. Like, when you hear the news today, O.J. Simpson passes away, do you think, oh, that's one of the greatest football players I've ever seen passed away, or what happened off the field, allegedly, with O.J. Simpson? I think for most of us, it's the latter. And you got to remember, and obviously, you know, I don't have a memory of it, but through documentaries and obviously just being a sports person and being someone that's in this position, this is not a foreign topic to us. O.J. Simpson, right? We've had documentaries come out. He has not avoided really any of the public spotlight. He has not just gone off and hid somewhere for years, obviously. But you look back at the trial and, right, the white Bronco chase as well. It's one of those moments. I know it's weird coming from me, but it's just one of those moments when I'm going to say it this way, that if you were alive for it, everyone remembers where they were for that. And everyone remembers how powerful of a topic that was. Like, my dad, right, who was heavily involved in the sports radio scene, producing Mike and the Mad Dog back during 94, he talked about that all the time when I was growing up as a kid. You know, you had the Knicks, you had the run of the Rangers, you know, living in Long Island, and then everything was just overtaken by the entire O.J. Simpson situation. So, Santer, it's a weird one to talk about. And I know on social media, many people make jokes and everyone has like their creative spin. I always feel weird in a moment of death, really talking negatively about someone and throwing in jokes to a situation about that, because like his family, you know, like his children, they still look at him as dad. But, and they didn't ask, right, obviously, dad to do all these things. So you have some sympathy there. But yeah, you know, I would be lying to the audience if I got in front of the microphone and tried to celebrate the football career of O.J. Simpson, because that great career is ruined by everything of his alleged own wrongdoing off the field. So it's a very weird conversation to have. And I do believe that there's going to be a lot of shows that will just be like, yep, not talking about it. And I understand if you are not going to talk about it, because it's such a divisive and controversial conversation. And you will have some people that believe he's not guilty. Obviously, you have a ton of people that think he's guilty. And then also, there'll be that conversation of, he just passed away. Like, do you need to be talking in a very negative manner about him? This is not like he made a mistake. You know, he forgot, you know, some food at the grocery. It's not like that. Like, we're talking about someone that a lot of people believe murdered people. So I don't think if they weren't a star football player, when a murderer passes away, do we sit there and we eulogize in a positive way about that person? So I think you just give your own opinions about it and your own thoughts about it. And that's pretty much the conversation. I don't know how much it makes for riveting radio, if I'm going to be honest. And I saw Chris Brockman, who is a phenomenal producer. I've been able to know Chris a little bit. And he produces Rich Eisen. And he's like, it's going to be fascinating how this is covered. And I saw ESPN was obviously covering it today. And I think you just got to be honest and you tell the story. And obviously people have different perspectives of it based on who you are. So that's kind of how I look at it, Samter.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about it all day. Like, how do you approach this from a show's standpoint? And there really is, it's a no-win situation. There's no way you can really get into it, because if you want to be negative about him, then you come off as callous. If you want to be positive about him, like, you're defending somebody who, whether or not he actually committed
those
crimes.
And quite frankly, being negative is right here in this regard.
And even if you don't believe that he committed the worst of the crimes that he's accused of, he was found guilty of other crimes, multiple other crimes. So he certainly didn't live a great life, a positive life. However, when you say O.J. Simpson, there might not be another name in sports history that elicits the kind of emotion, positive or negative, from people, right? Like Colin Kaepernick elicits emotion. Muhammad Ali probably elicits emotion. There are names that elicit emotion. When you say the name, people get angry or people get excited or whatever. There's just emotion behind the name. And O.J. Simpson's name carries weight for so many reasons. Yeah. And his name, his legacy is going to be one of the most complicated that we've ever seen. And it's going to go down, and it's not going to be forgotten. 50 years from now, O.J. Simpson's name is still going to be.
Oh, absolutely.
Pete Rose's name is one of those names that elicits emotion. There are names, and in 50 years, people are going to look back, and O.J. Simpson's name is still going to be talked about.
But here's why this one is probably the most polarizing, because you get into a conversation about Pete Rose. And I know when you talk about Pete Rose, most of the people talk about it from a gambling perspective, right? Most people talk about Pete Rose, the hit king. Why is he in the Hall of Fame and gambling? We also know about Pete Rose and the despicable things that occurred allegedly with a 14-year-old, all right? Like, that's part of the story. You look at some of these other stories, though, like some of the names that you mentioned, take Pete Rose out of it, that you say are polarizing. It's like there's not the seriousness of those issues. Like Colin Kaepernick, for example. And, you know, you just brought up the name. I have no issue with Colin Kaepernick whatsoever. I think when you look at Colin Kaepernick, he should not be remembered in a negative way whatsoever. Like, when we're talking about O.J. Simpson here, we're talking about you remember him two ways. And the first one is what you remember about him most. That's the off the field, right, with the trial and what he was accused of there. And then it's, oh, yeah, let's not forget the guy was an all-time great football player. And it's tough in this society, if you think about it, because there have been all-time great players before that kind of get a pass for this and that. When it comes to basically killing someone and then abusing children, those are the two things you don't recover from. And in OJ's case, we're talking about murders. So you're not wrong. You'll always remember the name O.J. Simpson. And obviously what transpired, and however you think what transpired or not, is up to you. But it's very tough in our society when you can have an all-time great career and that's not the first thing you think of about a person, about an athlete, especially how much in this society. A lot of us in like other areas, how many times you talk about a guy in the NFL or the MLB or the NBA that gets a second or a third or a fourth chance because of their talent? But there's certain things that you can't do. You can't abuse children and you can't kill other people. Like, that happens. It's not like, oh yeah, my bad, and you recover from it because you're a great football player. So that's pretty much the conversation about O.J. Simpson. I've obviously been on the air and I had to talk about a lot of deaths. This one is the most difficult one to talk about. And it's like you do the segment and then you kind of move on from it. But there's obviously been times where you've had older people pass away, like 80, 90 years old, and you could talk about them for 3 hours because people call and they're like, oh, their memories about how great they were. And this person, I remember when I was a kid and I fell in love with sports this way. And you bring on a former, like, you could do that conversation all day. In this one, it's like, yeah, you got to talk about it. It's not a fun conversation for anybody because of the serious things that occurred off the field. And it's like, okay, let's move on from it. Anyway, let's hear Jeremy Schapp. He was on ESPN earlier today talking about O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson, in a moment, had gone from being this hero, and he was a hero, to a murder suspect. It was unlike anything else, you know, that I've experienced in my lifetime, that America has witnessed really in the last half century. And I think we have to keep in perspective here, yes, he was acquitted. But anyone who has seriously looked at the evidence would have to come to the conclusion that he was a murderer. And so am I filled with sorrow today? I'm not.
And also, let me just say this, because I do see from some younger people, and I'm a younger person, like, oh, can you have some sympathy? He just passed away. Why are so many people being negative? And like, for example, I was born in 94. So here's like the equation to people that are like in my age and younger. Being a big Patriot fan, I loved Aaron Hernandez as a football player. I understand Aaron Hernandez as a football player is not comparable to O.J. Simpson as a football player. But Aaron Hernandez as a football player, I love. Like, I remember doing his celebration every time after he scored a touchdown. But then when you found out, regardless of how it played out in the court system or not, about Aaron Hernandez and what he was accused of, I've never done more of a 180 on a person or a player quicker than I have on Aaron Hernandez. And for O.J. Simpson, for a large part of his life and the early years, it was look at him as a football player and all the awards and all the records and how great he is in the annals of NFL and college football history. But then once you get thrown into a category of doing what he was accused of, even if he wasn't found guilty, it doesn't mean that there aren't people that get off with things and they still haven't done the crime. And once again, when you get into the conversation about murder, that's something that I just can't sit back and be like, oh yeah, he was a great football player. So that's how we'll handle the O.J. Simpson passing, as he had a battle with cancer that I was not aware of. And O.J. Simpson, we did find out today, has passed away. We'll come on back with a news brief update time first. Here is Dexter Henry. Alrighty, wrapping up shop on a Thursday. Zach Gelb shows CBS Sports Radio. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, let's start off with the Lions quarterback Jared Goff. Jared Goff calls out the Detroit media on the Wilbo Trading Cards podcast.
I have this thing with our local media where like they almost like relish in negativity at times. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what gets clicks and that's what sells. But it's no longer what they need to live in. Like, right. Hey guys, like we have a good team. We've had success. Like, we can be happy about that. We can celebrate that and not have to write about how like we're constantly the underdog. Like, no, like teams are going to be gunning for us now. Like, we won the division and all that. And I'm probably overthinking it in my head just because it's the chip on my shoulder and the competitor in me.
So let's go from Jared Goff to the conversation about Dak Prescott. We'll just throw all these NFC quarterbacks in there right now. This is Adam Schefter on ESPN. Maybe the Cowboys, with Dak Prescott entering the final year of his contract and not having a new deal, and there's not expected to be a new deal done yet, and he could hit free agency if he wants to with the no tag clause, maybe the Cowboys will draft a quarterback.
What about Jerry? What are they going to do at quarterback if they lose Dak? That's interesting. And that's why I think the Dallas Cowboys might just be a sleeper team in the quarterback market during the draft, because at some point in time, they might have to draft a quarterback higher than you think at some point in time, because Dak is going into the last year of the contract, and it might be time to get somebody in there to start grooming him. Just like they found Dak Prescott in round 4, might be time to go find another quarterback in another round to begin to get him ready.
That sounds very familiar. Sounds like something that, some guy named Zach Gelb said on the radio a few weeks ago. And the reason why I think this way is there is a big thinking that why, remember a few years ago when Russell Wilson put a deadline to the Seahawks to get a new contract done? Well, there's a lot of people that believe that Russ got wind that the Seahawks were interested in actually drafting Drew Lock, which is crazy because they ended up trading him in the Russell Wilson deal. And that's why I've always thought, now, who are some teams that could surprise some people and take a quarterback when you don't expect them to? Also, with the Carson Wentz situation, with Jalen Hurts as well. So it would not shock me in the first 3 rounds if the Cowboys take a quarterback. But the sooner they do so in round 1 or round 2, it becomes a much bigger story. By the way, the Cowboys do have the 24th pick. But anyway, we heard from Jared Goff. You hear about Dak Prescott through Adam Schefter. The number one pick in the draft will be Caleb Williams. I then think Jaden Daniels is the second quarterback in this draft that has the highest upside and could be a star. I only think there could be two quarterbacks in this draft that are going to be elite, and that's Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. Even though I want Daniels to go three to the Patriots and I want the Commanders to take Drake May so the Patriots can get him, you really see the disparity AFC and NFC. Like, the AFC have so many great quarterbacks. And the NFC, like, you'd believe that Jalen Hurts could be a star. You saw it 1 year, didn't see it last year. Matthew Stafford's great, but I wouldn't call him a star. Like, Dak and Kirk and Brock Purdy and Jared Goff, like, they're just good quarterbacks. None of those guys are stars. Like, Bryce Young isn't a star. CJ Stroud now is a star in the AFC, though. You need Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels to go 1-2 to be stars to kind of even out the difference in how many star quarterbacks are in the AFC compared to being in the NFC. Let's go to Aaron Rodgers. He was on the I Can Fly podcast. And here is a conspiracy theory from Aaron Rodgers where he talks about the Clintons killing RFK. Go ahead.
And we need somebody who's willing to lay it on the line. That's what I love about Bobby. Think about it. They killed his uncle, killed his dad. We know CIA was involved, right? I mean, like, they can't declassify it because it's so damning. Mm-hmm. We know the FBI was involved. Hoover hated the Kennedys, hated them. So Bobby loses his uncle, JFK, his father, RFK. His cousin dies in a plane crash when he was running against Hillary Clinton. Like, I'm not saying that was a conspiracy, but it's kind of a weird coincidence.
Sorry, I said RFK. I meant JFK Jr., but I was kind of laughing at the entire clip. Here's why I'm laughing.
He threw like six conspiracy theories into one comment.
Stop. Here's why I'm laughing. And we're in the same line of thinking, Samter. Because when I first heard that, I said, wasn't Aaron Rodgers the same guy not that long ago, a few months ago, where he was talking about something specific that the Jets need to change from 2023 to 2024? Let's listen up to Aaron Rodgers from back in January.
If you want to be a winning organization and to put yourself in position to win championships, everything that you do matters. And the bullshit that has nothing to do with winning needs to get out of the building. The exit meetings are important, and just get everything on the table that's happened, flush the bullshit that you need to move forward away from, and then refine your focus moving forward.
So he's basically saying we don't need any distractions and we got to flush the bull bleed. That's what he's saying. Now, once again, let's go back to the I Can Fly podcast and play the Aaron Rodgers theory that he threw out there once again.
And we need somebody who's willing to lay it on the line. That's what I love about Bobby. Think about it. They killed his uncle, killed his dad. We know CIA was involved, right? I mean, like, they can't declassify it because it's so damning. Mm-hmm. We know the FBI was involved. Boy. Hoover hated the Kennedys, hated them. So Bobby loses his uncle, JFK, his father, RFK. His cousin dies in a plane crash when he was running against Hillary Clinton. Like, I'm not saying that was a conspiracy, but it's kind of a weird coincidence.
Okay. Did that flush the bull bleep? Did that eliminate any distractions? No. Aaron Rodgers, truly one of one. There's a lot there, but I think we'll end that conversation right here. 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston had Albert Breer on, and this is the first thing I've heard about Drake May that has made me say, if he winds up with the Patriots, maybe I could open up and warm up to it.
The floor is low with Drake May. That's I mean, with Drake May, you're taking a swing and you are gambling that he is going to be better than he was. Now, like, I would say his trajectory is similar to Josh Allen. Like, the more I've talked to people, it's like Justin Herbert physically with a Josh Allen play style.
I hear that. I'm like, wow. I'm like Kobe White at the draft. Wow, wow, wow. That's crazy, bro. Wow. Now, I've said before about Drake May is that people compare him to Josh Allen, but I think he's a poor man's Josh Allen if everything comes together. But when you say Justin Herbert and Josh Allen, and I know there's still a question on what the floor is, but that does make you say, maybe it's not the end of the world if Drake May is the pick at three. But I just don't think Drake May will go to the right situation in New England because they don't have much around him. Now, he could sit for a full year, and you have Jacoby Brissett play, but I don't know. When you take a quarterback at three, you usually don't see that quarterback sit all that long. Let me play one more. Here's John Calipari on the Arkansas roster or the lack of it with Pig Suey?
I'm jacked about another opportunity. Like, I'm like, let's go. Now, I met with the team. There is no team. So now, I got to... Hunter's really extremely confident, but we got to get a roster together. And some of it is a little bit of everything, but we will. It may take a little longer.
That's a great line. I talked to the team. There is no team. There's like three players that are in the portal right now that were at that meeting. So what a line by Cal.
I met with the team. There is no team.
All righty. That's a news brief. This is Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio.
Now, for clarification, the roster has one player, senior forward Lawson Blake. He averaged 0.3 points and 0.3 rebounds per game. The team has zero scholarship players right now.
Yes, thank you. I just want to say something here before we leave, so I'm not being a jerk and not appreciating the information. Just so everyone knows, I know it's been reported out there, I am not here tomorrow. I will be back on Monday. I'm taking my father to celebrate an early 65th birthday party that we had planned. I am taking him, celebrate a birthday party, I'm taking Bruce Springsteen. But that's my birthday gift and my birthday present to him. Our network is changing names. All right? CBS Sports Radio is now going to be called Infinity Sports Network. Let me make sure that I get this right. CBS Sports Radio is going to be called Infinity Sports Network. People will hear this over the weekend. Monday, it becomes official. Nothing is changing here at the network. All right? You will still have all the great talent from Maggie and Andrew in the morning, Bill Ryder, the legendary, the franchise, Jim Rome, yours truly, JR, you got Bart, and you got Amy, and all the great weekend shows that you listen to. Nothing is changing from a programming standpoint. I understand people don't like change in radio. Just the name of our network is changing from CBS Sports Radio to Infinity Sports Network. We will still have the same compelling, fun, great shows. We are not going anywhere. So if you hear that, don't say, oh, where's Zach going? Or where's Maggie and Perloff going? No, where's Jim Rome going? No, we are all still here, and we'll do the great job that we always do and continue to build a great relationship that we have with all of our affiliates and all of our listeners. I will talk to you on Monday. Amy Lawrence is in for me tomorrow as I'm off to Bruce Springsteen with my old man. Big thanks to Stuart Kovacs. Big thanks to Michael Samter as well. And a big thanks to Kyle Tucker for joining us, Darius Robinson, and Chris Trapasso. I'll talk to you Monday, everybody. Thank you. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.